Normal values. Normal values provide clinicians with reference ranges for interpreting cardiovascular metrics, enabling them to contextualize individual data within broader physiological norms. The resting heart rate in healthy adults typically ranges from 60 to 80 beats per minute, with athletes often exhibiting values as low as 40 due to enhanced parasympathetic tone. Peripheral skin temperature at the fingertips generally exceeds 88 degrees Fahrenheit in a thermoneutral environment, and toe temperature averages around 85 degrees Fahrenheit. Blood volume pulse amplitude lacks standardized units and is interpreted relative to baseline levels and intra-individual changes. For HRV time domain metrics, such as the RMSSD, the SDNN, and PNN50, normative ranges have been published. However, values vary widely depending on age, health status, posture, breathing, and measurement duration. For example, the RMSSD values between 20 and 50 milliseconds are common in healthy adults during rest, while elite endurance athletes may exceed 100 milliseconds. In frequency domain analysis, typical values for high frequency power, reflecting parasympathetic activity, and low frequency power, reflecting baroreflex engagement, also depend on breathing rate and duration. Clinicians must interpret these values in the context of recording conditions. Paced breathing inflates certain HRV components, while talking, fidgeting, or stress can reduce them. Rather than relying solely on normative cutoffs, clinicians should emphasize consistency across sessions, responsiveness to intervention, and alignment with clinical objectives. When used judiciously, normal values provide a scaffold for interpretation without overshadowing the individualized nature of biofeedback training. Heart rate variability. Heart rate variability, HRV, refers to the naturally occurring variation in time intervals between successive heartbeats. These intervals, also known as interbeat intervals or RR intervals when measured from an ECG, reflect the dynamic interplay between the sympathetic and parasympathetic branches of the autonomic nervous system. Greater variability generally indicates a flexible and adaptive nervous system that can respond efficiently to both internal and external stimuli. In contrast, reduced variability is associated with autonomic rigidity and an increased risk for stress-related disorders. HRV is influenced by age, respiration, fitness, mental state, and disease status. It can be measured using time domain, frequency domain, and nonlinear metrics, each offering different insights into autonomic regulation. Time domain indices quantify variability using statistical measures such as the standard deviation of interbeat intervals, the SDNN, or the root mean square of successive differences, the RMSSD. Frequency domain analysis breaks the HRV signal into components that reflect different physiological processes. High frequency power is associated with parasympathetic activity, low frequency power is linked to baroreflex function, and slower regulatory mechanisms influence very low frequency power. Clinicians use HRV and biofeedback to train clients in increasing vagal tone, reducing sympathetic dominance, and improving overall autonomic balance. HRV training often involves paced breathing at the client's resonance frequency, the breathing rate that maximizes baroreflex gain and coherence in the HRV spectrum. A robust HRV signal indicates effective parasympathetic activation, stress resilience, and cardiovascular efficiency. It serves as both a target and an outcome measure in psychophysiological interventions. ECG/EKG sensors. Electrocardiographic, ECG or EKG, sensors measure the electrical activity of the heart, offering a precise and direct method for detecting each cardiac cycle. The ECG waveform consists of several components: the P wave, representing atrial depolarization, the QRS complex, representing ventricular depolarization, and the T wave, representing ventricular repolarization. The R wave, the tallest peak in the QRS complex, is most commonly used to mark interbeat intervals for HRV analysis. ECG sensors use either gelled or dry electrodes that attach to the skin and connect via leads to an amplifier and recording system. Unlike PPG sensors, ECG electrodes measure voltage differences rather than light absorption, making them less susceptible to artifacts from movement, temperature, or local perfusion. However, ECG requires more preparation. The skin must be cleaned to reduce impedance, hair may need to be shaved, and electrodes must be precisely placed to capture clean signals. Disposable gel electrodes are often preferred for clinical use due to their low impedance and hygiene. ECG offers high temporal resolution and is the gold standard for HRV measurement, especially in research and diagnostic contexts. It is particularly advantageous for clients with cold extremities or inconsistent BVP signals. However, ECG has disadvantages, including the need for more extensive setup, client discomfort due to exposed skin, and vulnerability to electrical and muscular artifacts. Despite these challenges, ECG remains the most accurate tool for capturing interbeat intervals, especially when precise HRV quantification is required. Sensor placement. Sensor placement is a critical determinant of signal quality and accuracy in both ECG and PPG recordings. The anatomical site where sensors are affixed influences not only the amplitude and clarity of the signal, but also its vulnerability to artifacts. In ECG monitoring, 3 or 4 electrode configurations are typically used for biofeedback rather than the full 12 lead setup common in diagnostic cardiology. Placement options include the wrist, wrist to ankle, forearm, lower torso, and chest. Each of these configurations offers different trade-offs in terms of client comfort, exposure, susceptibility to motion or EMG artifact, and signal clarity. For PPG sensors, placement is more straightforward but still crucial. The palmar side of the middle or index finger is the most commonly used site due to its rich vascularization and accessibility. However, in cases of poor perfusion, the thumb, earlobe, or even forehead may provide better signal stability. The selected site must offer a compromise between strong signal detection and client tolerance. Overly invasive placements, while potentially yielding better signals, may deter client participation. Conversely, overly convenient placements that yield weak or noisy signals may compromise the validity of the data. The clinician must also consider practical concerns, such as whether the site allows for prolonged stillness, avoids muscular tension, and remains accessible for visual inspection during sessions. Electrode or sensor orientation should align with the direction of physiological signal propagation to optimize detection. Proper placement not only reduces noise and improves accuracy, but also shortens setup time and enhances session efficiency. Mastery of sensor placement is both a technical and clinical skill foundational to valid biofeedback practice. Wrist placement. Wrist placement for ECG electrodes is among the most convenient and least intrusive methods, making it a popular choice in settings where speed and client modesty are priorities. In this configuration, electrodes are secured to the right and left wrists using straps or adhesive patches. This setup is easy to explain, requires no disrobing, and typically causes little discomfort. It is also ideal for clients with limited mobility or for quick screening assessments. However, wrist placement is highly susceptible to movement and EMG artifacts because the forearms and wrists frequently engage in subtle motions even when a client appears to be at rest. These artifacts manifest as erratic spikes or high-frequency noise superimposed on the ECG waveform, which can obscure our wave detection and produce false interbeat intervals. This placement may also yield lower amplitude signals due to the distance from the heart and the reduced electrical activity in distal limb sites. In practice, wrist placement is acceptable when the client can remain still and when artifact control is not mission-critical, such as in educational demonstrations or preliminary evaluations. When signal contamination is a concern, or when precise HRV metrics are required, clinicians should consider alternative placements. Nevertheless, wrist-based ECG remains an accessible entry point for clients unfamiliar with biofeedback, helping them acclimate to the process without undue exposure or complexity. Wrist-to-ankle placement. The wrist-to-ankle ECG placement utilizes the right wrist and left ankle as the active leads, with the reference electrode placed on the right wrist or at other standard sites. This configuration enhances the amplitude of the ECG signal by increasing the spatial distance between the electrodes, which accentuates the QRS complex, especially the R wave used to compute interbeat intervals. The enlarged signal makes this setup more resistant to minor electrical noise, facilitating accurate beat detection. However, this placement is more invasive in terms of client preparation. It requires access to both upper and lower limbs, often necessitating the removal or adjustment of shoes and long pants. This can be a barrier in clinical settings where time is limited or privacy must be preserved. Furthermore, the ankle site is more prone to movement and temperature-induced changes in perfusion, which may introduce artifacts or reduce signal consistency. The setup time is also longer, and the client must remain in a reclined or stable seated position to avoid tugging on the leads. While not ideal for all clinical situations, the wrist-to-ankle configuration is a valuable option when high signal fidelity is required, especially in clients with large T waves or poor R wave definition in wrist-only configurations. The method strikes a balance between accessibility and quality, making it suitable for semi-formal research or structured HRV training sessions where motion can be controlled and client cooperation is high. Forearm placement. Forearm placement involves securing electrodes along the lateral surfaces of the left and right forearms, typically with one active electrode on the right and both reference and second active electrodes on the left. This setup preserves client modesty and allows for easy monitoring without requiring the removal of shoes or upper garments. It also facilitates rapid setup and adjustment, particularly in group settings or brief interventions. However, forearm placement comes with increased vulnerability to muscle and movement artifacts. The forearms are rich in muscle mass and often engaged in postural maintenance, so even minimal isometric contractions can introduce high-frequency EMG noise into the ECG signal. This interference can mimic cardiac spikes, confounding automated beat detection algorithms. Additionally, forearm hair or skin oils may impair electrode adhesion unless proper skin preparation, such as cleaning or shaving, is performed. The placement also offers moderate signal amplitude, better than wrist-only, but often weaker than torso configurations. Despite these challenges, forearm placement remains a pragmatic choice in situations requiring a balance between ease of use, client comfort, and signal quality. It is particularly suitable for preliminary screening, instructional sessions, and brief training sessions. With careful preparation and posture stabilization, forearm-based ECG can yield reliable data for time domain HRV metrics and general heart rate monitoring. Lower torso placement. The lower torso placement offers a compromise between high-quality ECG signals and client comfort. In this configuration, the reference electrode is placed over the angle of the sternum, while the active electrodes are positioned approximately 5 cm above the navel and 10 cm to the left and right of the midline. This arrangement capitalizes on proximity to the heart, providing large amplitude R waves and reducing susceptibility to both electromyographic and motion artifacts. The location also avoids areas of high skeletal muscle density, further improving signal stability. Importantly, this placement allows for modesty preservation. Clients can usually lift their shirts slightly rather than fully undress, especially when a towel or gown is used for coverage. It is less prone to contamination from arm movement than wrist or forearm configurations and is better tolerated by clients who are sensitive to exposure than chest placement. This makes it an excellent choice for formal HRV assessments and clinical sessions requiring high-fidelity data. One limitation is that torso placement may be uncomfortable for clients with surgical scars, excessive abdominal adiposity, or dermatological conditions. In such cases, alternate placements may be necessary. When used properly, the lower torso electrode configuration provides one of the most robust and clinically versatile setups for biofeedback involving ECG-based HRV training. Chest placement. Chest placement offers the highest fidelity ECG signals for biofeedback purposes, but is also the most invasive in terms of client exposure. Electrodes are typically positioned over the left and right coracoid processes near the shoulder joints and the xiphoid process of the sternum, or arranged in a horizontal row at heart level. This placement maximizes R wave amplitude, minimizes skeletal muscle interference, and provides excellent resistance to motion artifacts, making it ideal for research-grade recordings or clients with complex cardiac histories. However, it requires partial disrobing, which may cause discomfort or embarrassment, particularly among female clients or individuals with trauma histories. Informed consent and client education are critical before proceeding with chest placement. This configuration also requires careful attention to electrode polarity and alignment with the heart's electrical axis to avoid inversion of the R wave or signal dropout. Clinicians must ensure that skin preparation is thorough and that electrodes adhere well, especially in cases of sweating or oily skin. Despite these requirements, chest placement remains the gold standard when signal clarity and accuracy are paramount. It is best used in private clinical sessions, where diagnostic precision outweighs procedural convenience. Proper training in chest placement technique enables clinicians to gather artifact-free data for precise HRV analysis. Placement summary. Each sensor placement configuration offers distinct advantages and trade-offs, and no single method is suitable for all clinical scenarios. Wrist and forearm placements prioritize client comfort, quick setup, and social acceptability, making them ideal for educational settings, screenings, and sessions involving anxious or modest clients. However, these locations are more susceptible to motion and EMG artifacts, which may compromise HRV precision. Wrist-to-ankle and lower torso placements strike a balance between signal amplitude and client exposure, offering reliable data without the need for full undressing. They are especially useful for clinical applications where signal quality is crucial, but logistical constraints must be taken into account. Chest placement yields the highest quality ECG data, but demands the most invasive preparation and is reserved for contexts where data fidelity supersedes client modesty concerns. PPG sensor placements follow similar logic. Fingers are most common, but may need to be substituted with thumb or earlobe locations in the presence of cold artifact or low perfusion. Ultimately, sensor placement should be individualized based on the client's anatomy, comfort, the session's goal, and the need for precise data. Flexibility in approach, combined with careful sensor handling and adherence to consistent protocols, ensures optimal clinical and research outcomes. ECG-EKG artifacts. Electrocardiographic artifacts are extraneous signals or distortions in the ECG waveform that obscure or alter the underlying cardiac data, compromising the accuracy of beat detection and HRV analysis. These artifacts can originate from various sources, including physiological, behavioral, environmental, and technical. Physiological sources include muscle contractions, eye movements, or respiration-induced chest wall motion, which produce overlapping signals with similar frequency characteristics to ECG activity. Behavioral artifacts result from client movements such as shifting, posture changes, talking, or fidgeting, all of which can tug on the electrode leads or disrupt skin electrode contact. Environmental artifacts often stem from electromagnetic interference produced by nearby electronics such as monitors, mobile phones, or fluorescent lighting. Technical artifacts are introduced by poor electrode adhesion, incorrect placement, cable movement, or skin impedance mismatches. Common consequences include misidentification of our waves, false positives, and missed beats, all of which corrupt interbeat interval data and render HRV metrics unreliable. A contaminated signal may exhibit baseline wander, excessive noise, or distorted waveforms that no longer resemble a normal ECG pattern. Artifact management requires comprehensive attention to setup, including skin preparation, secure attachment, proper limb stabilization, and lead anchoring during recording. Clinicians must monitor the raw signal continuously and train clients to remain relaxed and still. Automated artifact detection software can assist, but human oversight is essential to verify and interpret anomalies. Post-recording review should involve detailed inspection and, where necessary, manual editing or removal of compromised epochs. Minimizing ECG artifacts is essential for accurate HRV assessment and underpins the therapeutic and diagnostic reliability of biofeedback interventions. Missed and extra beats. Missed and extra beats are among the most consequential artifacts in ECG-based HRV analysis because they directly distort inter-beat interval calculations. A missed beat occurs when the software fails to detect a genuine R wave, often due to a low amplitude signal or interference that obscures the peak. This results in an abnormally long interval between detected beats, thereby inflating HRV measures such as the SDNN and the RMSSD. Conversely, an extra beat artifact arises when the software misidentifies a non-cardiac waveform, such as EMG noise or AT wave, as an R wave. This produces an artificially short interbeat interval, deflating HRV indices and skewing the frequency domain power spectrum. Both scenarios undermine the physiological integrity of the data and can lead to incorrect conclusions about autonomic function. The risk of these artifacts is greatest in recordings affected by line interference, poor skin electrode contact, or rapid client movement. Visual inspection of the interbeat interval, IBI, time series, and the raw ECG waveform can help identify these anomalies. Graphs showing sudden jumps or dips in IBI length, especially when not preceded by physiological events, warrant further examination. Sophisticated software may flag suspect intervals, but manual verification is essential. When more than 5% of IBIs in a segment are corrupted, that epoch is generally considered invalid for analysis. Clinicians should document missed and extra beats, correct them if possible using interpolation tools, or exclude the affected data. Rigorous detection and management of these artifacts preserve the accuracy and interpretability of HRV metrics. Line interference, 50 or 60 Hz artifact. Line interference artifact, also known as mains noise or power line interference, is one of the most common environmental contaminants in ECG recordings. It originates from electrical devices and infrastructure that operate at 50 or 60 Hz, the standard frequency of alternating current in power grids. This artifact manifests as a consistent high-frequency oscillation superimposed on the ECG waveform, creating a fuzzy or rippled appearance. It can obscure the fine features of the QRS complex, making our wave identification difficult and increasing the likelihood of missed or extra beats. Common sources include fluorescent lighting, computer monitors, power supplies, and unshielded extension cords. The artifact becomes particularly prominent when electrodes are improperly grounded or when high impedance contact impedes the clean conduction of signals. Although modern ECG systems typically include hardware-based notch filters to suppress 50 or 60 Hz noise, these filters may not be fully effective when the source of interference is too close or when multiple devices emit overlapping electromagnetic fields. Mitigation strategies include ensuring proper grounding of the ECG amplifier, using shielded cables, placing the client away from electrical outlets and electronic devices, and turning off non-essential equipment during recording. Clinicians should also avoid running cables parallel to power lines or allowing them to cross other active wires. In some cases, a sudden increase in line noise may indicate that a nearby device has been activated, prompting a re-evaluation of the recording environment. Effective control of line interference is essential for maintaining the diagnostic clarity of ECG signals and ensuring the fidelity of HRV calculations. Steps to minimize 50 or 60 Hz artifact. 1. Enable a 50 or 60 Hz notch filter. 2. Place the encoder box at least 3 feet, 1 meter, from electronic equipment. 3. Remove and used sensor cables from the encoder box. 4. Carefully prepare the skin. 5. Apply pre-gelled electrodes to achieve low and balanced impedances, 10,000 ohms and 5,000 ohms. 6. Examine the raw signal for artifacts. EMG artifact. EMG artifact arises from skeletal muscle activity that generates electrical signals overlapping with the ECG frequency range, contaminating the waveform and impeding accurate heartbeat detection. The frequency content of surface electromyographic signals typically spans from 10 to 500 Hz, which overlaps significantly with the ECG's QRS complex, especially during muscle contractions. Even low-level muscle tone in the neck, shoulders, or arms, such as clenching a fist or maintaining postural tension, can introduce high-frequency bursts into the ECG recording. These bursts may resemble cardiac spikes in amplitude and timing, misleading beat detection algorithms and creating false positives or missed R waves. The artifact often appears as sharp, erratic deflections riding atop the baseline ECG signal, obscuring the morphology of the QRS complex and reducing the signal-to-noise ratio. EMG artifact is especially prevalent in wrist, forearm, or upper arm placements where muscle activation is frequent. To reduce EMG contamination, clinicians should instruct clients to relax their limbs completely and provide physical support, such as armrests, cushions, or recliners. Skin preparation, including the removal of oils and hair, helps improve electrode contact and reduces the susceptibility to interference. Monitoring raw signals during data acquisition is crucial for early detection, as is training clients to recognize and minimize their muscle tension. In situations where EMG cannot be eliminated, clinicians may opt for alternative placements less prone to muscle activity, such as the lower torso. Recognizing and managing EMG artifacts ensures that the ECG signal accurately reflects cardiac rather than somatic activity, a prerequisite for valid HRV analysis. Steps to minimize EMG artifact. 1. Use chest or lower rib placements instead of forearm or wrist placements. 2. Instruct your client to sit in a relaxed position and restrict movement and verify compliance. 3. Examine the raw signal for artifacts. Movement artifact. Movement artifact in ECG recordings is introduced when client motion displaces electrodes or disturbs the skin electrode interface, leading to abrupt baseline shifts, distorted waveforms, or complete signal dropout. Unlike EMG artifact, which is caused by internal muscle activity, movement artifact results from external mechanical forces acting on the electrode assembly. These may include arm swings, posture changes, coughing, sneezing, or even subtle readjustments of the torso or limbs. Movement artifact can produce dramatic vertical displacements of the ECG trace, mimicking arrhythmias or creating artificial gaps between beats. In many cases, the signal returns to normal after the motion ceases, but the corrupted segment may contain data that is irrecoverable for analysis. This type of artifact is particularly problematic during ambulatory recordings or when the client is unfamiliar with the need for stillness and relaxation. Prevention strategies include thorough cable anchoring, the use of flexible lead wires, and clear instructions for clients regarding posture and movement constraints. Visual feedback of the real-time ECG waveform can also help clients become aware of the impact of their movements on their heart rate. When motion artifact is unavoidable, clinicians must identify and remove contaminated epochs during post-processing to prevent spurious HRV metrics. Movement artifact can be minimized but not eliminated. Thus, its identification and exclusion are key to maintaining data integrity in clinical and research settings. Steps to minimize movement artifact. 1. Firmly tape sensor leads to client clothing for strain relief. 2. Restrict movement. 3. Use a lower torso placement. 4. Apply pre-gelled electrodes to ensure strong skin electrode contact. 5. Provide instructions to sit in a relaxed position and confirm compliance. 6. Examine the raw signal for artifacts. Respiration artifact. Respiration artifact refers to low-frequency fluctuations in the ECG signal baseline that are synchronized with the client's breathing cycle. As the client inhales and exhales, the thoracic cavity expands and contracts, altering the relative position of the heart and electrodes. These movements shift the electrical axis of the heart slightly, resulting in baseline wander or modulation of the R wave amplitude and shape. This artifact is most prominent when electrodes are placed on the chest or torso, where they are subject to the greatest movement during respiration. While some degree of respiratory modulation is expected and even desired in HRV training, excessive baseline shifts can interfere with consistent R wave detection. The artifact may present as a gentle oscillation of the entire waveform or as periodic changes in QRS morphology, especially during deep breathing exercises. Dry electrodes, poor skin preparation, or loosely affixed sensors exacerbate the problem. Proper electrode placement over bony landmarks and a secure attachment help minimize artifacts. Clinicians may also instruct clients to reduce upper chest breathing and promote diaphragmatic patterns that reduce thoracic movement. In some cases, respiration artifacts provide useful information, such as the presence or absence of respiratory sinus arrhythmia, but they must be distinguished from pathological irregularities. Careful signal inspection and cross-referencing with respiratory monitoring data support accurate interpretation and prevent misclassification of normal physiological patterns as technical errors. Steps to minimize respiration artifact. 1. Abrade the skin after cleaning with an alcohol wipe. 2. Use pre-gelled electrodes to ensure strong skin electrode contact. Direct current, DC, offset artifact. Direct current, DC, offset artifact occurs when there is a persistent shift in the baseline of the ECG signal, typically caused by differences in electrode skin impedance or electrochemical instability at the electrode interface. This artifact appears as a gradual drift or fixed displacement of the waveform away from its expected zero-voltage baseline. It can result from imbalanced electrode application, such as inconsistent pressure, uneven skin preparation, or the use of expired conductive gel. As the skin electrode interface becomes unstable, especially in long-duration recordings, ionic migration can generate DC potentials that superimpose on the ECG signal. The resulting baseline drift may be subtle or pronounced, depending on the magnitude of the offset and the amplifier's gain. DC offset complicates beat detection by masking or distorting the QRS complex, potentially causing the software to miss beats or miscalculate interbeat intervals. It can also introduce slope changes that mimic ST segment deviations, misleading the interpretation. Prevention involves standardizing skin preparation, cleaning with alcohol, lightly abrading the skin, and ensuring full electrode contact. Using matched electrodes from the same batch and avoiding mixed brands also reduces potential mismatch in half-cell potentials. During signal acquisition, clinicians should monitor for creeping baselines and recalibrate or reapply electrodes as needed. Some systems offer software-based baseline correction algorithms, but hardware-level prevention remains the most effective strategy. Maintaining a stable baseline ensures that the recorded ECG reflects the heart's electrical activity unadulterated by extraneous voltage shifts. Steps to minimize DC offset artifact. 1. Clean the skin using an alcohol wipe. 2. Use fresh electrodes with sufficient gel. 3. Examine the raw signal for artifacts. Electromagnetic interference, EMI, artifacts. Electromagnetic interference, EMI, artifacts are introduced into the ECG signal by external sources of electromagnetic radiation, which disrupt the electrical field surrounding the electrodes and lead wires. These artifacts are often high frequency, irregular, and may resemble either line noise or rhythmic activity. EMI can be generated by a variety of devices commonly found in clinical or home settings, including mobile phones, wireless routers, microwave ovens, computer monitors, electric motors, fluorescent lighting, elevators, and imaging equipment such as X-ray machines and centrifuges. When these devices emit radio frequency or electromagnetic waves, they can couple with unshielded or poorly grounded ECG systems, introducing electrical artifacts into the recording pathway. The artifact typically appears as erratic, high-amplitude distortions, or fine, rapid oscillations that overlay the ECG waveform, compromising our wave identification and obscuring the QRS complex. Even when the ECG amplifier includes built-in shielding and filtering, strong EMI sources nearby can overwhelm these protective measures. Mitigation strategies involve both environmental and equipment-level controls. Clinicians should keep sensitive equipment at least 2 meters away from EMI-emitting devices and use shielded twisted pair lead wires to minimize interference. Additionally, the use of Faraday cages or grounded enclosures may be necessary in research environments that require extremely clean signals. Clinicians should educate clients to silence mobile phones and other wireless devices before recording. In cases where EMI cannot be avoided, post-processing filters may help reduce its impact. Although prevention remains the preferred strategy, clear identification and management of EMI artifacts are essential to ensure that the recorded ECG accurately represents the heart's electrical activity rather than environmental electrical noise. Steps to minimize EMI artifacts. 1. Ensure that all cell phones are turned off. 2. Maintain an adequate distance from high-voltage equipment. 3. Position the encoder box or separate instruments behind or to the monitor's side. 4. Place the client no closer than 2 to 3 feet from the monitor. Polarity artifact. Polarity artifact arises when the orientation of ECG electrodes is reversed relative to the heart's electrical axis, resulting in an inverted or low amplitude or wave in the recorded signal. In standard configurations, electrode placement aligns with the expected direction of cardiac depolarization, allowing for clear and tall R waves that are easily detected by software algorithms. However, if the positive and negative leads are reversed due to mislabeling, misplacement, or incorrect cable connections, the electrical potential recorded during depolarization flows in the opposite direction. This causes the R wave to invert and sometimes become smaller in amplitude, making automatic detection difficult or erroneous. Polarity artifact may present as a consistent downward deflection of the QRS complex throughout the recording, which can be mistaken for a physiological abnormality if not recognized. The artifact is particularly problematic when signal amplitude falls below detection thresholds or when combined with EMG or movement interference. To prevent polarity artifacts, clinicians must double-check electrode positions against placement diagrams and ensure proper lead labeling before starting the recording. Color coding and lead identification systems should be standardized within the clinical setting to prevent confusion. Many ECG software platforms include polarity correction algorithms that digitally invert signals, but these should be used with caution and only when the underlying cause of inversion is known and deemed non-pathological. Proper documentation and confirmation of lead placement are key. By maintaining vigilance over polarity orientation, clinicians preserve the physiological accuracy of the ECG trace and the validity of derived HRV metrics. Steps to minimize polarity artifacts. 1. Locate active electrodes on the right shoulder and over the xiphoid process, extension of the lower sternum. 2. Laterally adjust electrode position to increase or spike amplitude. 3. The best location may require experimentation. Tracking test. The tracking test in ECG-based biofeedback serves as a verification tool to assess whether the recorded heart rate signal reflects dynamic physiological changes, particularly those induced by respiration. In a successful tracking test, the clinician observes whether the instantaneous heart rate accelerates during inhalation and decelerates during exhalation, a pattern known as respiratory sinus arrhythmia, RSA. This process requires synchronized monitoring of the ECG signal and a respiratory channel, often measured via a strain gauge or respirometer. The ECG-derived heart rate should mirror the respiratory cycle with visible coherence between the expansion and contraction of the chest and the timing of our wave intervals. If the ECG signal fails to reflect RSA, potential causes include sensor misplacement, weak signal amplitude, or software configuration errors. The test also verifies the integrity of the entire data acquisition chain, from skin preparation and electrode contact to amplifier function and software display settings. When the tracking test reveals expected heart respiration synchronization, it confirms that the system is properly configured and ready for HRV biofeedback training. This test is essential before beginning interventions aimed at resonance frequency breathing, as the absence of RSA would undermine the primary mechanism targeted by training. By confirming system readiness and physiological signal fidelity, the tracking test supports effective session planning and ensures that clients receive accurate, actionable feedback. ECG and respiration demonstration. An ECG and respiration demonstration involves real-time monitoring of both cardiac electrical activity and the client's respiratory pattern to highlight their physiological interdependence. The demonstration typically uses a multi-channel biofeedback system to simultaneously display the ECG waveform and a respiratory signal obtained from a thoracic or abdominal strain gauge. As the client breathes slowly and evenly, the clinician and client observe the dynamic relationship between breathing phases and changes in heart rate. Specifically, heart rate increases during inhalation due to vagal withdrawal and decreases during exhalation as vagal tone is restored. This phase-linked variation illustrates respiratory sinus arrhythmia, a key marker of vagal influence and autonomic flexibility. The visual correlation of these two signals reinforces the concept of cardiorespiratory coupling, serving as a valuable teaching tool for both clinicians and clients. Demonstrations can also be used diagnostically. Exaggerated or absent RSA patterns may reflect underlying autonomic dysregulation. For training purposes, clients are instructed to breathe at specific target rates, often between 4 and 7 breaths per minute, while observing the enhanced heart rate oscillations that result. This feedback promotes engagement, facilitates learning, and anchors breathing practices in observable physiological outcomes. Demonstrations also provide a platform for artifact recognition. Irregularities in either channel may indicate poor sensor contact, movement, or interference. By integrating ECG and respiration signals, clinicians can create a compelling multimodal picture of autonomic function and provide an enriched training experience that underscores the physiological basis of self-regulation. Heart rate variability metrics. Heart rate variability, HRV, metrics quantify the variation in interbeat intervals, providing insight into the dynamics of the autonomic nervous system. These metrics are grouped into three primary domains: time domain, frequency domain, and nonlinear measures. Time domain metrics are based on direct statistical analysis of successive interbeat intervals. Key examples include the root mean square of successive differences, the RMSSD, the standard deviation of normal to normal intervals, the SDNN, and the percentage of adjacent intervals differing by more than 50 milliseconds, PNN50. These values reflect overall variability and parasympathetic activity, with the RMSSD considered the most robust short-term indicator of vagal tone. Frequency domain metrics, derived via Fourier or wavelet transformation, decompose the HRV signal into component rhythms that correspond to physiological processes. These include very low frequency, VLF, low frequency, LF, and high frequency, HF, bands, each of which carries specific interpretive implications. Nonlinear metrics such as entropy and Poincaré plots assess the complexity and self-similarity of heart rate dynamics, often used in research or advanced clinical contexts. HRV metrics are sensitive to various factors, including respiration rate, posture, time of day, and mental state. Therefore, standardized measurement conditions are essential. Accurate calculation also depends on artifact-free data. Even a few missed or extra beats can distort results. When properly recorded and interpreted, HRV metrics offer powerful indicators of autonomic flexibility, stress resilience, and physiological integrity, serving as both diagnostic tools and biofeedback targets. HRV time domain metrics. Time domain HRV metrics offer a straightforward, statistically grounded view of variability in interbeat intervals. The RMSSD, or the root mean square of successive differences, reflects short-term beat-to-beat variability and is closely linked to vagal tone. It is considered a reliable marker of parasympathetic activity and is commonly used in clinical HRV biofeedback and wearable devices. The SDNN, the standard deviation of all normal-to-normal intervals, captures overall HRV across the recording period and includes contributions from both sympathetic and parasympathetic influences. In 5-minute recordings, the SDNN reflects short-term fluctuations in heart rate variability. In longer recordings, it approximates circadian variability and cumulative autonomic input. PNN50, the percentage of adjacent intervals differing by more than 50 milliseconds, also reflects parasympathetic influence. However, it is more sensitive to outliers and is less frequently used in clinical practice. These metrics are typically expressed in milliseconds and require at least 5 minutes of stable data for valid interpretation. Time domain measures are easily computed and are particularly useful when frequency domain analysis is limited by irregular breathing or non-stationary data. They are also well-suited to real-time biofeedback applications, providing immediate visual indicators of physiological changes. While less nuanced than spectral analysis, time domain metrics remain foundational to HRV interpretation and are supported by extensive normative research. Their simplicity, combined with their strong predictive value for health outcomes, makes them indispensable tools in autonomic assessment and self-regulation training. HRV frequency domain metrics. Very low frequency band. The very low frequency, VLF, band of HRV, defined as oscillations between 0.0033 and 0.04 Hz, is the least understood of the spectral components, but it may hold important clinical significance. VLF activity is believed to result from a combination of long-term regulatory mechanisms, including thermoregulation, hormonal influences such as the renin-angiotensin system, and metabolic processes. Vascular smooth muscle tone also influences it. In short-term recordings, elevated VLF power is often interpreted as a marker of vagal withdrawal, particularly in individuals experiencing chronic stress, worry, or fatigue. It is too slow to represent sympathetic activity. In contrast, Low VLF power has been associated with higher mortality risk in some clinical populations, though these findings are primarily derived from 24-hour recordings. Because VLF activity changes slowly over time, its accurate quantification requires longer data segments, ideally spanning 5 minutes or more for meaningful interpretation. VLF analysis is also sensitive to artifacts. Even minor distortions in interbeat intervals can introduce spurious spectral peaks. Despite these limitations, VLF remains a valuable, if nuanced, index of autonomic regulation. It is best interpreted in conjunction with time domain and higher frequency spectral measures, contributing to a composite picture of physiological resilience or dysregulation. Low frequency band. The low frequency LF band, spanning 0.04 to 0.15 Hz, is often misunderstood in HRV interpretation. Traditionally, LF power was thought to reflect a mixture of sympathetic and parasympathetic activity. However, more recent research suggests that it primarily indexes baroreflex activity, a homeostatic mechanism that stabilizes blood pressure through autonomic modulation of heart rate. When clients breathe at a rate of 4.5 to 7.5 breaths per minute, corresponding to a frequency of 0.075 to 0.125 Hz, their HRV becomes highly concentrated in the LF band, creating a prominent peak that reflects resonance between the cardiac and vascular systems. This phenomenon underpins resonance frequency training in HRV biofeedback, where LF amplitude serves as a marker of coherence and baroreflex efficiency. Elevated LF power during such training sessions indicates strong cardiorespiratory coupling and optimal vagal sympathetic balance. However, at resting respiratory rates above 9 breaths per minute, LF power may decline and interpretation becomes less reliable. LF should not be viewed as a simple proxy for sympathetic tone, especially in paced breathing protocols. Its value lies in representing dynamic feedback between blood pressure sensors and cardiac control centers. Careful attention to breathing rate, posture, and emotional state is essential when interpreting LF metrics. When properly contextualized, LF power serves as a robust indicator of autonomic adaptability and cardiovascular resilience. High frequency band. The high frequency HF band, ranging from 0.15 to 0.40 Hz, corresponds to respiratory-linked oscillations in heart rate and serves as a direct marker of parasympathetic or vagal activity. This band reflects the phenomenon of respiratory sinus arrhythmia, RSA, where heart rate increases during inhalation and decreases during exhalation. HF power is strongly influenced by breathing rate, tidal volume, and respiratory regularity. When clients breathe at rates above 9 breaths per minute, typical of spontaneous resting respiration, their HRV is primarily distributed within the HF band. Under these conditions, HF power serves as a sensitive indicator of vagal tone and is often used to assess stress recovery, depth of relaxation, and autonomic flexibility. In clinical HRV biofeedback, increases in HF power during baseline or resting periods are viewed as desirable outcomes, indicating enhanced parasympathetic dominance. However, during paced breathing at resonance frequencies, typically around 6 breaths per minute, HF power may decrease while LF power increases due to respiratory entrainment. This shift does not imply reduced vagal activity, but rather a redistribution of HRV power into the LF band. For this reason, HF metrics are best used during natural or unpaced breathing. HF power also correlates with time domain measures, such as RMSD and PNN50, offering converging validity across analytic methods. Accurate measurement of HF power requires precise beat detection, stable respiration, and artifact-free signals. When used appropriately, HF metrics offer a window into the vagal regulatory system and support clinical interventions designed to promote calm, restorative physiological states. Adult HRV norms. Adult heart rate variability, HRV, norms provide reference ranges for interpreting autonomic function during rest and standard respiration. A typical resting heart rate, HR, ranges from 60 to 80 beats per minute, BPM, with highly conditioned individuals often falling within the 40 to 60 BPM range. HR influences HRV by constraining the length and variability of interbeat intervals. The RMSSD, which reflects short-term beat-to-beat variability and is a marker of vagal tone, typically ranges from 30 to 100 milliseconds. The SDNN, representing overall variability and autonomic nervous system, ANS, flexibility, typically ranges from 35 to 100 milliseconds. The natural logarithm of high-frequency power, LNHF, another indicator of vagal tone, commonly falls between 4.5 and 7.5. These metrics are most valid when measured during spontaneous breathing at normal rates, approximately 12 to 14 breaths per minute, and tend to decline with age. These normative values help guide interpretation in clinical HRV biofeedback and autonomic assessment. Practical takeaways on cardiovascular monitoring. Effective cardiovascular monitoring and biofeedback demand a blend of technical precision, physiological understanding, and clinical judgment. Clinicians should begin by selecting the appropriate modality, temperature, blood volume pulse, BVP, or electrocardiography, ECG, based on the client's needs, clinical goals, and the availability of equipment. Accurate sensor placement is foundational. Thermistors must be affixed securely to well-perfused skin. PPG sensors require shielding from light and motion, and ECG electrodes demand meticulous skin preparation and anatomical alignment. Environmental conditions should be tightly controlled, with room temperature maintained around 74 degrees Fahrenheit, 23 degrees Celsius, lighting subdued, and electronic interference minimized. Before recording, clinicians must conduct tracking tests to verify system integrity and ensure that respiration length changes are reflected in heart rate output. Baseline periods should be sufficiently long to allow for physiological stabilization, and signal quality should be continuously monitored to prevent artifact contamination. Missed or extra beats, line interference, and motion artifacts must be identified and either corrected or excluded from analysis. Drug effects, client-specific variables, such as vascular responsiveness and posture, and session context must all be considered when interpreting HR, HRV, and temperature data. Clinicians should educate clients about the rationale behind procedures and reinforce the importance of stillness, relaxed breathing, and consistent limb positioning. Ultimately, a multi-sensor approach, combining temperature, BVP, and ECG, where feasible, can provide complementary information and enhance diagnostic reliability. These practices ensure that cardiovascular biofeedback is safe, accurate, and meaningful, providing a valid foundation for therapeutic self-regulation. Conclusion: cardiovascular monitoring and biofeedback offer a window into the dynamic interplay between autonomic regulation and physiological function. Through the use of temperature sensors, photoplethysmographs, and electrocardiographs, clinicians can translate subtle shifts in vasomotor tone, cardiac rhythm, and heart rate variability into visual feedback that empowers clients to engage in voluntary self-regulation. Each modality presents unique advantages. Temperature feedback reflects slow changes in peripheral blood flow, BVP tracks rapid alterations in vascular tone, and ECG provides the most precise measure of cardiac electrical activity. Mastery of these tools requires not only technical knowledge, but also clinical attentiveness to factors such as sensor placement, environmental control, artifact recognition, and individual variability. Artifacts from motion, electromagnetic interference, respiration, and electrode misapplication must be proactively managed to ensure data integrity and accuracy. HRV metrics, especially the RMSSD, SDNN, and frequency domain power bands, provide quantifiable indicators of autonomic balance and therapeutic progress. However, their interpretation must be context-sensitive and artifact-free. Ultimately, cardiovascular biofeedback serves as both a therapeutic intervention and a diagnostic lens, illuminating patterns of stress recovery and autonomic adaptability. When implemented with rigor and insight, it facilitates measurable improvements in health, resilience, and emotional regulation. This lecture emphasizes the principle that physiological self-regulation is teachable, observable, and clinically impactful, provided that the monitoring systems are accurate, the protocols are standardized, and the interpretation is grounded in autonomic science.